This is Akashvani. In the program Spotlight, now we bring you a discussion on 90 years legacy of RBI in safeguarding people's interest and mentoring the economy. The participants are Anil Padmanabhan, economic analyst, and Anubha Rohatgi, anchor.
The Reserve Bank of India celebrated its 90th anniversary today. Established in 1935, India's central bank has been working since then to safeguard the interest of people and mentor the economy. To discuss this issue, I'm now joined by economic analyst Mr. Padmanabhan. Welcome to the program.
Thank you, Anubha.
90 years and counting. Can you tell us about the origin of the Reserve Bank of India, its role in the initial years, and its evolution in the last nine decades?
Because this, like you rightly said, is 90 years old. So it's pre-independence, its existence. But its role from the beginning has been one to manage the monetary framework within which any economy functions. So whether it is to regulate the banks, whether it is to manage inflation, whether it is to maintain monetary stability. So these core functions have not changed. But post-independence, their role has pivoted as India transited from a planned economy to a market economy. And more recently in the market economy, its role has been further defined, particularly accommodate new economic frameworks that India has pivoted to. And primarily in this, Union Government passed this Monetary Policy Flexible Inflation Targeting Act, within which the Reserve Bank of India was required to maintain inflation between a 4-6% band. And the rest of the functions have remained the same. And as you know, most recently, it played an incredible role during the COVID-19 pandemic. It took several out-of-the-box options, including giving sovereign guarantee for small-scale lenders, borrowers, which helped enormously in mitigating the economic damage that flowed from the COVID-19 pandemic. So net, it's a Reserve Bank, as any institution, is a constant state of evolution, and it is now increasingly adapting to a new framework for what we call the Viksit Bharat framework. So from here onward, you will see more changes in the way it functions as technology shapes India's future.
You mentioned the very pivotal role that the RBI played during COVID-19, and I will come back to that later in the program. But you also mentioned the fact that, you know, about the market economy. So in his remarks today, Governor Shaktikanta Das said that over the years, the RBI evolved from a central bank focused on resource allocation during the planning era to an enabler for the market economy. Now, when we look at the progress of the Indian economy and its position in the world today, how significant has the RBI been in making India an economic force to reckon with?
See, Anubha, we can't separate the contributions of the Reserve Bank and the Union Government and state government. But broadly, you can say that it has been a very, very important variable as far as India's economic strategy goes, and always been like a backroom boy, you know, who's there as a rock of Gibraltar in holding everything together. But what we saw during the COVID-19 pandemic is the insight into the power and influence of RBI. And please remember, COVID-19 pandemic was preceded by severe financial distress across the banking sector. You had the ILFS disaster that hit the country. So you had series of financial and economic shocks that were already in play. And then COVID-19 pandemic. So it required enormous maturity, experience and vision for Reserve Bank to react to such an unfamiliar situation. There's no playbook on how you deal with the COVID-19 pandemic. And here, looking back to the advantage of hindsight, is that I think the Reserve Bank and the government, Union Government, came together, and it's not that they're independent institutions, but they calibrated their roles brilliantly, particularly broadly where India in the first phase focused on saving lives, and then it shifted to saving livelihoods. And in both phases, the Reserve Bank of India played a tremendous role. It complemented the Union Government, and to the government, Union Government's credit, they have complemented the Reserve Bank of India too, particularly in keeping control over its borrowing, which is what we call fiscal deficit. It has kept it in check. It has brought it down to its committed path. And this year, we were pleasantly surprised that the finance minister announced lower borrowings than were much anticipated earlier.
So when we talk about how the central government and the RBI in tandem, you know, tackle the COVID-19 situation, if I talk about specifically RBI, can you elaborate a little more on the steps that the central bank took? Of course, in conjunction with the central government, face this challenge that the whole world and India was facing.
Sure. There are several steps they took, but I will share one step which I think impacted a large chunk of Indian business, which is the small and medium business. We remember when COVID-19 hit, the economy shut down, credit dried up. So, you know, the small scale sector, I'm sure aware that they have a working capital problem. So they don't get access to capital easily, and even if they do get it, it's very expensive. So in a crisis situation like the COVID-19 pandemic, when credit dries up, they are the most vulnerable segment, business segment in the economy. So the Reserve Bank of India announced they would provide a sovereign guarantee on the working capital requirements of these small scale sector. Basically, they were underwriting these borrowings. So they provided a safety net for the small and medium sector, and this helped immensely in tiding over this working capital short-term challenge that the small-scale sector faced. And but for that, the economic fallout could have been much more severe, particularly in terms of job losses and, of course, livelihood losses, particularly towards the lower half of India's economic pyramid, that is bottom and the middle class. They would have hurt much more than would have otherwise. So I hope that kind of explains significant role they played during the COVID-19 pandemic, providing a kind of safety net to this country.
Yes, of course, that was very well explained, Mr. Padmanabhan. Now, the fact is that the Indian economy, apart from even before COVID-19, you know, because of various global issues and things that happened in the country, the Indian economy and the banking system have had to deal with crises over the years, and they have adapted and made changes each time. So what are the major structural and policy reforms that have helped the RBI and the banking system to deal with these challenges? Specifically, we talk about the various laws that have been brought in or the various policy reforms that have been brought in.
See, there are two laws that jump out which have immensely transformed this country in the last decade. One, we just discussed, the flexible inflation targeting. Second is the Insolvency and Bankruptcy Code. This has helped, you know, to solve 9 trillion rupees problem of bad debt in the Indian banking. What was happening was these bad debts were clogging the bank's balance sheet, and they were in red. Companies who couldn't repay were going into red. So, you know, it was like a virtuous cycle where one crisis was feeding off another crisis. What the IBC did was, for the first time in the economic history of this country, it took charge of the bad debt problem in two ways. One, it solved for the stock problem. Second, it created a structure where, for the first time, if you went insolvent because of a bad economic decision or a rash economic decision, you are liable to lose control of the company. Several promoter companies changed hands in the last decade. There are several examples out there, which tells you that a sea change in India's entrepreneurial mindset happened in the last decade. So to me, the IBC was one huge example of solving for a problem which was inherited crisis and creating a new structure looking forward. So more flexible entrepreneurial ecosystem which facilitates entry and exit on reasonable terms and fair terms. The other is, of course, the inflation targeting, which has given enormous power to the Reserve Bank of India to maintain the Reserve Bank of inflation rate in a band of 4-6%. And it's remarkable that they have mostly kept it there and taken action either in anticipation, or the inflation that we saw in the last 1.5 years was unprecedented because it was largely induced due to external circumstances. Of course, COVID-19 pandemic, supply chain disruptions, and the U.S. Fed increasing interest rates at an incredible pace. So all of that resulted in inflation, not just in India, but globally. So the response is obviously different, but looking back, advantage of hindsight, again, the Reserve Bank of India did a remarkable job in bringing down inflation as high as to the present.
Well, since yours, you know, we are talking about inflation. Prime Minister Modi today in his keynote address at the event praised the RBI's Monetary Policy Committee, saying it has worked very well on inflation targeting. And as you know, the next MPC meeting is due in just a couple of days. So how successful has the central bank been in walking the tightrope and taming inflation in the last few years?
Oh, they've done a terrific job because, like I said, what we saw post-2019 is not there in any playbook. I mean, now in future, if such a crisis comes, subsequent governors and the Reserve Bank of India officials will have hindsight and, you know, some experience to deal with it. But this was like out of the blue, and it hit not just India, it hit the world. So to react to that in such a timely, mature fashion has been incredible. And it's the reason probably why India has demonstrated such dramatic resilience. In fact, that is now the new catchword in the global economic jargon is resilience. You have seen a few economies, not just India, has shown that Indonesia has, Saudi Arabia has, and a few countries have demonstrated resilience. And that resilience is the ability to not just withstand a crisis, but to thrive in the crisis. So, I mean, if you had asked me 4 years ago whether India would be clocking 8% plus, I would never have stuck my neck out. But it's amazing, and I think this credit partially or in large respect has to go to the Reserve Bank.
So when we talk about RBI, the image of the central bank is that is of a bank that does not directly deal with common people. But there are steps that have been taken by the central bank, by the RBI, that has made banking a much safer and a more accessible system for the people, isn't it? And also there's also a redressal mechanism which has been, you know, streamlined. Can you elaborate on that?
The Reserve Bank of India primary role, as like we just discussed, has been managing the economic framework, but it's also regulating the banks. All of us are secure with our deposits in banks or investments in mutual funds because of the stability that is there in the financial sector. Now, let's take countries like Latin America, which are facing, or Turkey, for their example, which is facing 70% inflation, or Latin America, even higher inflation. The financial sector is extremely unstable. So, you know, it creates a very difficult framework for people to live in, businesses to do business, and whatever else you need to do in an economy, make it take. So the Reserve Bank of India, by preserving our financial stability, has worked enormously. Secondly, it has moved swiftly. Like I mentioned to you, the IL&FS crisis that hit India could have resulted in a meltdown of the entire financial sector, given the size of the problem that was faced. But the Reserve Bank of India moved swiftly and nixed the problem in the bud. Damage was limited.
It's a retail direct scheme by the Reserve Bank of India, which enables retail investors to directly purchase and sell government securities, and that eliminates the requirement for intermediaries. Now, what is this scheme and how important is it? How significant is it for those retail investors? You know, because we see that the number of retail investors in our country is rising with every, you know, passing month.
See, Anubha, it's a very interesting and innovative step looking at the future. We all have a portfolio of investments. That can include equity, can include debt, can include real estate, can include gold. So now you can also include government securities in that. And why are government securities so such a good investment option? They are liquid. You can cash them anytime you want. Secondly, they are government backed. So they are 100% secure. They are sovereign guaranteed lending. And it gives you also a hedge because depending on which bonds you pick up, it protects you in some ways against inflation, and it provides diversity and more stability to your investment portfolio. But at the moment, it may not be so apparent, but as we move forward, and please remember that the NSSO data on consumption just got released a few weeks ago, it showed that between 2011 and 22, India's consumption trebled across all income class, obviously some more than the others. But this trend will be sustained because please remember our per capita income has gone from $1,500 to now about $2,100. This will go up even more as the economy grows and wealth gets shared. So as you grow, you're going to create, look out for an investment portfolio, and the more the instruments, more stable instruments like say government security, the more stable your portfolio. So that is why it helps that they have opened it. It's visionary. At this point, I don't know the amount of stock that retail investors are holding in government securities. But going ahead, I think this proportion would grow.
Thank you, Mr. Padmanabhan, for talking to us.
Thank you.
You were listening to a discussion on 90 years legacy of RBI in safeguarding people's interest and mentoring the economy. The participants were Anil Padmanabhan, economic analyst, and Anubha Rohatgi, anchor. This program was produced and presented by the News Services Division of Akashvani. You can listen to it on our mobile app, News on AIR. This program is also available on our YouTube channel, News on AIR Official. You may share your feedback about this program through email at airnsdtalks@gmail.com or WhatsApp on 9289094044.